morning. Thank everybody for coming. I guess this morning we're back in the Beis Medrash. Last week's Shir in Hilchos Yichud was in an elementary school classroom. That itself sometimes could be Hilchos Yichud issues. But here, we're here to talk about grave mistakes from medical malpractice to excessive force. And this week's share is obviously, if you pick up from the end of the topic, is about current events here in America, which has swept the world, in which, unfortunately, there have been incidents involving police officers, law enforcement, and the death of people, and has sparked outrage and protests, riots, general violence all across the land. And I'd like to talk about it this morning, but before I talk about it, I think we need a hakdama. And that introduction is from this week's parsha. Last week's parsha we read, the Parsha Shalach is definitely noted for the story about the Meraglim. That's unfortunately a key story in the parsha, where you had these, started off as great people, these leaders of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, used as spies to go to the land of Eretz Yisrael and report on it back to the Jewish people. But their report turned out to be very negative and caused Bnei Yisrael to lose faith in Hashem, and a tremendously horrible gezeira that entire generation did not see to live to go into Eretz Yisrael. Instead, it cost them 40 years in Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu himself lost out. And just total, one of the most horrific sins. Chazal say that the Meraglim cried what they call Bechiya Shalchinam, a crying of nothing. And because of that, in the story of the Meraglim took place, Chazal and Tisha B'Av, that caused not just destruction for that generation in the desert, but destruction for Jews throughout the millennium. And okay, we have to try to digest that, try to understand that parsha to the best of our abilities. At the end of past week's Torah learning, Mafter, the last psukim, are the psukim, what we call the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, the parsha of Tzitzis, and the juxtaposition. Why is it that those two things are next to each other, sharing the same parsha? So there's a Sifri, which is explained by Chaskol Sarna, Shiva and Chevra, that connects the two parshas based on the pasuk at the end of the parsha of Kriyat Shema, where the Torah warns, "Lo sasura achre levavchem, ve'achre einechem." A person should not go after his, be led astray by his heart, by his eyes. And the way Sarna explains it, that the underlying cause for the sin of the Meraglim, saw Eretz Yisrael. They saw Eretz Yisrael, they saw tremendous miraculous things, tremendous nisim, tremendous positive things about Eretz Yisrael. They saw something which they attributed to be a bad thing, which in reality really was a good thing. They saw people dying, they saw this. And they called it Eretz Ochel, so Shvel, it's a land that eats and kills its inhabitants. And they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And Chaskol Sarna explains, based on this Sifri, that really the root of it was their own bias, their own bad midos, their own negative emotional response. And their job as Meraglim was to report what they saw, a fact-finding mission, they were sent on. Instead, they gave a slanted, biased report, which forever shook and caused much suffering to the Jewish people. I think it's not a stretch to say the Meraglim were, unfortunately, the first misfits responsible for what you call fake news. They took a whole situation, which they should have reported what they saw, and instead, they didn't stick to the facts. They didn't stick to all the news that's fit to print. Rather, they gave their biased perception of what was around. And I think in any discussion over here about this topic, you know, we're definitely not getting what I hope to do, a halachic Torah discussion on this topic. It's definitely not really what's being debated in the world today. I'm not sure how much even debate there is. The quote-unquote discussions about police brutality, racism, which has evolved after these incidents, has been at least political, very much politically correct, and you know, it's tricky. It's whatever type of journalism that used to exist, you know, you have to look at the microscope to find it. And there's a lot of tainted views. And it's kedai for us to examine, just to, at least from the Torah perspective, obviously, we're not imposing our ideas on society, per se. But as a Torah Jew, it's important to know the correct, I think, Torah perspective of what do we say about these situations? You know, I'll review the last case. The case in Atlanta where you had an arrest being made for an individual who was some level of intoxication, asleep in his car, blocking a drive-through at a restaurant. And you could see the video, how the officers really had to wake this person up. The person wasn't fully functioning. And after, I guess it was determined to arrest him, the person resisted arrest, got into a struggle, literally was fighting with the officers, took away one officer's taser. As the other officer pursued him, he fired the taser, turned back and fired the taser at the pursuing officer, which within that moment, he fired back and shot the couple of shots which killed him. And just even analyzing that case, it's not a simple case how to explain what's going on. And there are probably different forensic opinions, definitely police opinions, of who's responsible in that case. So I'd like to analyze that from halachic perspective. I guess you have to be careful, not give a whole thing about bias. So full disclosure, my father, Zimzain, worked for the NYPD for, I believe, 30 years. You didn't know that one, huh? He mostly had a desk job, though he did get a shield, you know, by the end of his life. He actually worked in police headquarters in Manhattan. So I definitely have a certain affinity for NYPD blue, but I think what I'll try to give over is the black and white halacha without too much spin. So in general, when we talk about damage, we talk about you know, mistakes, even assuming there was some level of mistake. So what's the level of culpability for a person? And that's what you call Baba Kama Shaila. And the Gemara basically says a klal. For sure, when it comes to damages, Nisa might be a different deal. But when somebody hurts, harms another person, another one's property, Adma Mazik has the highest degree of culpability. Torah expects a person to be fully cognizant at all times. Mar even talks about a case when a person does damage when he's sleeping. He should have realized before he went down, lay down to sleep, that there are things around he potentially could do damage to if he's tossing and turning in the middle of the night. So the Torah expects a person who is a Baruch Hashem thinking person, who is in control of himself, to try to the utmost of the highest level, be cognizant not to damage another person. And thus the Torah has a very high standard for Adam Mazik. It's really the Machlokas Rishonim. Adam Mazik might be even responsible for an onis, for an accident. If you accidentally damage a person, accidentally damage their possessions, there still might be responsibility because of the din of Adam Mazik. You are a person doing damage, and the Torah expects a lot from Adam Mazik. And okay, there are different shittas in the Rishonim, how far that goes. There are some Rishonim that exempt Adam Mazik from Onus Gamar. But it's machlokas. It's definitely a debate. But you for sure walk away saying that Adam Mazik has a very high level of responsibility. Top of that, you know the halachas, Masachas Makos, that if a person kills Bishogeg, if a person kills, definitely not premeditated, Bishogeg is not an ones, it's not a complete accident, but he did not intend to do that. Halacha is, he has to go to Golos. Right? In tongues of Bezdin, we had Ari Miklat, and there is even Halacha, the Gol Adam, the relatives of the person who passed away, would be allowed to pursue him, to kill him. And thus, somebody who kills even Bishogeg, even, again, the word accidental is not the perfect word, but a person kills without malice, without intention, so that person, there is a level of going to galus. So to begin with, you do see there's a very high standard, for premeditated actions taken by a person, mistakes, but certainly when it comes to, even things which are not premeditated, even unintentional, is probably the best word. Unintentional consequences, grave mistakes. Simply, we see there might be culpability, definitely in terms of damages. It's on a mazik. There's, if you kill Bishogeg, when you go to Galus. So the Torah does have a very high standard, puts on a person for even what you call grave mistakes. The Shulchan Aruch, which is one of the Marmakomos I put on your sheets. Email was sent out this morning. If one didn't receive it, check their inbox. But I would like to start with the halachas of doctors. Let's begin with medical malpractice. And I'm going to be careful how I tread. I don't know if there is any law enforcement families other than me involved in the share, but for sure, doctors, right? There's a lot of doctors here. So medical malpractice is something which I'm sure many are quite aware of. They might be paying pretty high premiums for insurance to defend against. So you have, I'm starting Shulchan Aruch, Yeridea, Simen Shin Mamavav. In fact, Might as well read it fully inside. Shulchan Aruch says, Dine HaRafua, Dine HaRofe, Nasna Torah Rishus Rofe L'Rapos. The Torah gives permission for a doctor to heal. Right? That itself, you can have a whole, you give a whole share, a whole discussion about the concept of doctors, and the Shulchan Aruch spells out that doctors, the Torah gives permission for them to engage in refuah, u'mitzvahi, right? It's a good thing to know. A doctor, every moment he's doing his job, that's a potential mitzvah. Mitzvah l'cha b'kuach nefeshu, and he's saving lives. Is there a doctor in the house? If he holds himself back from answering, he's on vacation. Hariz shofli damin. Shulchan Aruch has very strong words. He's spilling blood. And even if there is a doctor, but you know what? You're a better doctor. Look, it's a schus for a person to be healed. And lav dafka, every person has that schus. You're a good doctor, good from doctor. Hey, you know, you have a big schus. Potentially you can help the person. Shulchan Aruch writes, you should not be involved in medicine unless you're a baki, at least a trained emergency medical technician. That's all, guys. I assume that's all. People have to also know their limits. You shouldn't have there anyone better than you. You know, a guy in Hatzalah call, he should have the most senior member respond. Shimlokin, I raise the Shofei Damim. Once again, the Shulchan Aruch uses this harsh lashon that one is considered Shofei Damim. Then Ripa Shlo B'Shus Bezdin, and if someone would be involved in medicine without the proper authorization, Bezdin didn't authorize him. Chai B'Tashumim, Afilu Mubaki. Look, he'd be responsible for any damages, even if he's a Baki. That's some background. But here's where I want to zoom in. If a person has the full authority, he's a licensed doctor, Bezdin said he could operate over here, Vita v'hizik, he made a mistake and he did damage. So the way we built it up so far, look, a doctor who does damage, seemingly that's what you call adma mazik. And even if it was unintentional, okay, but that's part of the responsibilities. No, part of the responsibilities of a person is to be extra cautious. He never does damage. So you make a mistake. Pashtus, what we've seen so far in Hilchos Nezikin, is one is responsible for that. However, the Shulchan Aruch over here says, in Ribe B'Shoz Bezin V'Tav Hizik, Hata midine Adam, however, v'chai midine shemayim. One is potter, one is exempt from paying any damages in a humanly court. Midine shemayim, he would be chayiv. And therefore, there might be some responsibility that a person would seek in this. One more step. Then himiz v'nodalo shashagag, if he did make a mistake, he killed somebody, and comes out that it was a shogeg, gola al yado, then the doctor would go to galos in such a situation. Now, so it sounds like there's three levels here, and I'm going to discuss in depth these three levels. There's one level, could Bezdin enact payment from you? Could you be sued? According to the Torah law, a doctor who makes a mistake. So the Shulchan Aruch says, I'll explain it in a moment. No. You are pater midine adam. The guy can't sue you. He can't take you to any bezdin in the land and extract money from you. Midine shemayim, that's the second din. Yeah, you would be chayv. And it might be the type of thing, it's a good shayla. for a doctor, but if Chas Hashem there was a mistake, the Shulchan Aruch does say there's some din of Chayim B'dinei Shemayim, and there might be, you know, something people might want to look into, what to do about that. Definitely something that should cause a person to do tshuva. You know, any time that somebody, you know, a real mistake, you know, we're not just talking a doctor tried and the person passed away. We're talking about a mistake. You made an actual blunder. This is something that's legitimate that the person could be sued on. A person's patient dies, I don't think that's what the Shulchan Aruch is referring to. He's talking about a case of where you made a mistake. Something would be classified as hezek, that you damaged it. So the halacha is your potter. There is a concept that stage two, that you chai b'dinei shemayim. And the third step is the person dies, you killing him b'shogeg, you'd be chai galus. So it seems like we're makel in category one. Category two and three, we still hold the doctor responsible. Why in category one do we say that this doctor who makes a mistake, this is medical malpractice? He made a mistake. So why is it that he's potter? Why can't he be sued? So the Gra right over here in the Shulchan Aruch brings that to Tosefta in Baba Kama, and he also brings that the Ramban in the Sefer Torah. So Adam brings it down. Rofi Uman Sharip Ebershes Bezdin Vehizik. So it was Potter. You say he's Potter. From damages. And the reason being, I saw explained, was a takana. Very interesting. What's a takana? It's an enactment made by Chazal. Really, in a Hanami, there might be some legal precedent why one should be chayiv in such a case. In fact, that's why you're chayiv b'dinei shemayim. But the reason why one is potter is because no one's going to want to be doctors. Sound familiar? If every time a doctor makes a mistake, he could be sued. He could be, you know, chased after by the family. So then no one's going to want to be doctors. And if no one's going to be doctors, that's a big problem for society. It's very important to have good, well-trained doctors. And if you're going to make these lawsuits so extreme, people constantly suing doctors for mistakes, there's no protection for doctors, then it's going to, the ultimate, it's going to hurt society. So the Chazal made an enactment because of Tikkun HaOlam. They know what? A doctor is potter. Amazing. Right? I'm sure a few doctors in the audience are wishing, wow, that would really help my malpractice insurance. If they knew this halacha, yeah, it sure would. It sure would. And I remember years ago, a doctor explaining, OBGYN was explaining that nowadays there's so many decisions in medicine that doctors have to make vis-a-vis malpractice insurance. If they're doing something which they could be blamed if something goes wrong. So, you know, it's much easier to do a cesarean delivery than a natural delivery. There's less room for potential malpractice lawsuits. So doctors are quicker to do that. It may not be in the best interest of the patient, but look, this is our society. So it's a dangerous path that I believe American law, where they do have a pretty big allowance for lawsuits, it discourages doctors from being doctors, and is even in the second step. It handcuffs many doctors in the procedures that they do because of fear of lawsuits, and they may not be doing what's best for the patient. They have to do what's best for the patient vis-a-vis what they're able to do with insurance and everything. It's wild. So the Torah's perspective is we give a dispensation, we allow a patur, an exemption for doctors. If they make a mistake, 100%, it's their fault. But they're patur from paying. But they would get galus. So that is the halacha here in Shulchan Aruch about doctors. It's very interesting is this Shulchan Aruch, which I started with first, sounds like it's against a Gemara in Makos. The Gemara in Makos, really the end of a Mishnah on Daf Ches, the Gemara in Makos says, really it's darshaning the Pasuk, which is the source of Galus. Masha Yavos Re'eho Bayar, a person who meets up a friend in the forest, and he was cutting wood, and basically he maneuvered to chop the wood, and the head of the hammer falls off and kills somebody. So that person, the person chopping, would go to Galus over that. So at the end of the mission, the last three lines there, Abashol Omer, Macha Tavas Eitzim Rishus. The person who goes to Galus is someone who's doing something out of his own fruition. Why is he chopping wood in the forest? Because he needs wood. Simple. It's a personal decision for one to do that. And he made a mistake in that. Unfortunately, it was not intended. But through him, somebody died. So you have to go to Galus. So Avkorishos. Any case, a person makes a personal decision, they do something, and unintentionally, somebody dies through it. Halacha is your chayiv galus. But Abba Shaul says it has a very important exclusion. Yatsa of, this comes to exclude a father. Hamakes beno, who is giving punishment to his son. Varav harodes talmido, a rebbe. We don't do this nowadays. But a rebbe who is hitting his student. Vishliach bezdin, as well as a Shliach Bezdin. You look at Rashi's over here, or Belozer ben Yaakov, the first time, okay. Ha'ov makas beno, ba'atosu l'derech, acheres, he's putting him on the right path, and feels the only way to do it is through the rod. Shliach Bezdin, the way Rashi learned Pshat and Shliach Bezdin, ha'malka arbohim, l'chayiv malkas. We're talking about Shliach Bezdin, who's whipping the person who deserves Malkus. He's whipping him, and through that whipping, the person dies. That's also unintentional. Anytime before a person gets Malkus, they evaluate how much he can take, even though Malkus is Arbaim Chasach, that's where it starts at 39, but it's downgraded based on the physical ability of this person to take the lashes, so it doesn't evaluate it at a time. But they could make a mistake, and it could be that they gave him more than what he could handle. And so in such a case, the Shliach Bezdin, the Mishnah is saying, does not go to Galus. Just for the record, the Rambam over here has a different shot. The Rambam learns, we're not even talking about a Shliach Bezdin who is hitting someone to go with Malkus. It means literally a shliach of Beis Din bringing a person who's summoned to Beis Din, right? Happens all the time. Beis Din summons someone to come, and they don't come. So when Beis Din had powers, they would send out officers to arrest the person, to bring him to court. So within a struggle of a person resisting arrest, if the person ends up dying, shliach Beis Din, halacha is, that they do not build a bolus. And what's the reasoning behind this? Sounds like from the Mishnah. Because you're doing a mitzvah. If you're involved in doing a mitzvah, and that's why this person died, you're using force, didn't realize it was unintentional, it was excessive force, and the person died over this. So the halacha is that in such a case, you would not get galus. A father hitting a child would not get galus. I'm not giving any ideas over here. A Rebbe hitting a Talmud would not get galus. And thirdly, a Shliach Beis Din, an officer of the courts, who's trying to either give off malchus, caning, or he's an officer bringing someone to the court. Either of the scenarios, the halacha is that one that you're potter. So you see here, this is already another dispensation we see. We saw before there's a dispensation given by a doctor. We said that he's potter in damages because of the fact if he causes harm, if he kills somebody, right? He's potter to pay for any damages because of the fact that otherwise no one's going to want to be doctors. And we see also a second dispensation in terms of galus, that if the person was involved in doing the mitzvah, so they wouldn't be responsible in such a case to any degree of responsibility. So, you know, the din of galus is also based on some level of responsibility. And if they're doing a mitzvah, they're totally exempt. Now the question I saw asked is, what's the difference between a doctor and a Shlech Bezer? We said in this Mishnah here in Makos that Shlech Bezdin, parent, they're exempt. They wouldn't be Chayv Galus. Yet we saw by a doctor, if he kills unintentionally, halacha is that you do get galus. Why does he get galus? Why is a doctor any different than a Shlech Beis Din? A doctor is also doing the mitzvah. Right? Rapo yirape, mikan shenosu reshos l'rofi l'rapos, u'mitzvi. Right? Pashtus, isn't he doing a mitzvah? So, I saw a few answers to this question. The Aruch HaShulchan over here, he holds really, there is no difference. And if we had a case of a doctor who is similar to the case over there by a Shlech Beis Din, yeah, a doctor would not need galus. The Shulchan Aruch happens to be talking about a case of where there's some level of culpability. It's there is some element of where he should have been a little more careful, he should have been a little more responsible, and thus that's why you're chayv galus. But Echanami, if it was totally not your fault, you wouldn't be chayv galus. Just like the Mishnah over there. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Definitely doesn't sound so pashut. That's a pretty big, you know, qualification he's making in Mishnah, that there was some level of culpability over here. But if there wouldn't be culpability, then you'd be potter. That is a big chiddush in the qualifying of this halacha. It's not clear in the Shulchan Aruch what the Aruch HaShulchan said. But he realizes he's answering a question, and what he's saying is not so simple. If you look in his language over there. But that's the Aruch HaShulchan's answer. The Yad Avram, which is on the page in the Shulchan Aruch, he also is bothered by this question. It's really, he brings it from the Sefer Ma'aser or Keach, asks this question. Now listen to his answer. Very interesting answer. Yesh Lomar, Tishani Hacha, over here by a doctor, it's different. Shalot mitzvah b'rufu also kishemes. You're not doing a mitzvah with your patient when the patient dies. All the other cases the Rambam is talking about, even though the person passed away, nevertheless, mitzvah ka'avid, b'mashalom the Torah. You do a mitzvah in what you're teaching him Torah. Oshes mina l'din, or you're doing a mitzvah when you're bringing him to Beis Din. Sounds like the Yad Avram is making a chalak. When do we say that there's this dispensation that we allow to total, you're exempt, you don't have to go to Golos? When is that? That's when you're involved in the mitzvah. So, Shlech Beis Din, the Rebbe, parent, that's a mitzvah. You teach him Torah, you're giving him a chenach. The doctor who made a mistake, no, that's not a mitzvah. Haraya, because he died. It sounds like the way the Yad Avram is understanding it. What is this difference? It sounds like a very interesting qualification he has. He's learning that when it comes to teaching Torah, guiding people, mechanach, shlech Beis Din, the effort you invest, the action that you do, that's the mitzvah. Is the mitzvah the result, the lesson? No. Obviously it isn't, because the shlech Beis Din tried to get this guy to go to Beis Din. He didn't go. He resisted arrest. And he definitely didn't make it there alive. So, if you're judging the end result, that's, you can do it, Teretz is. The Yad Avram is looking at it, those mitzvos are involving the action. I'm the Shlech Beis Din. If I do my part to get the guy to come to Beis Din, then I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm being mechanech, I'm doing a mitzvah. Regardless of, you know, obviously my goal, when I Machanach, my child, my student, is that he understands the lesson. But my job is to teach the lesson. As opposed to a doctor, there it sounds like it's a result-oriented business. The guy is a nice doctor, but unfortunately, people are dying, so people are not going to use him. The mitzvah, the idea of Rappos, is okay, you have that mitzvah when you heal a person. But the person dies, you made a mistake, and the person dies. Into the mitzvah. The mitzvah there is result oriented. That seems to be what the Yad Avram is saying. I don't fully get it, and I assume our doctors in the audience also be like a little confused, you know, like, I don't know, that sounds a little harsh. You know, we only measure things by results. I mean, that is true to some degree, but it does sound a little arbitrary that these mitzvahs are defined by the action and this is by the result. But additionally, I don't think it fits with the Shach. If you look in the Shach is talking here at the end that if a person, a doctor, kills his patient unwillingly, unintentionally. The Shach writes, one should not stop being a doctor just because of the fear that he might make a mistake. U-mitzvahu, and it's a mitzvah. Commotion is all. The Shach is saying, even taking with it the potential for mistakes, just being involved in being a doctor, that's a mitzvah. So the Shach seems to be saying, even though there exists very clearly the possibility of mistakes, but that doesn't take away from your mitzvah. Put for carrot, you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing the right thing, we give you a bracha, you should be successful, and because you're doing a mitzvah, you should do it. So this answer, the Yad Avram, I don't think the Shach would agree to. Besides the fact that it does sound quite arbitrary. So we are back in terms of that question. What is the difference between Shlech Bezdin, which the Mishnah, the Gemara and Makos clearly says the one is exempt, versus here in Shulchan Aruch, where a doctor does have some responsibility, would have to go into Golos. You know, just to put it in policeman's terms, right? If you kill unintentionally, nafkamina of going to Golos is at least we take away, you know, he gets a desk job. He's got to go into hiding. That's literally what it means. And it's a big nafkamina. Right? We're not talking about charges against a person. We're not talking about being sued. We're just talking, does the person have to run away? Do we? Or no, look, you did the right thing. Continue doing exactly what you did. That's nafkamina if you go to Golos or not, at least from a Torah perspective. And so it still needs explanation. Why by a doctor do we say that they would be responsible for Golos? If a Shlech Bezdin, if a teacher, we see, would not go to Golos. There's a special dispensation, special exemption, because they're doing a mitzvah. What's the difference? So perhaps we could get to an answer in a little bit. But I'd like to bring, I think, two other major points, I think, in clarifying this matter. The first is from a Shal Tshuva Chassam Sofer. Now, I must admit, I did not put that on the sheets. I have good reason. I still remember Rav Sharfman Zatzal always bemoaning to me. Yeshiva has a pretty good library, but in some areas we're a little bit spotty. I don't believe the Yeshiva has this volume of the Shal Tshuva Chassam Sofer. I just checked the other day. And I remember this sefer in particular, Rabbi Sharfman bemoaning this to me years ago, that the yeshiva doesn't have a full set of Shal Tshuva Chassam Sofer. I didn't check online, for a while during the pandemic. One of these Otzar Chachmas, one of these websites that has, tens of thousands of svarim, is free to the public. But I'm not sure if that still is. But either way, I didn't have a chance to see it inside, but I did see it quoted. Chassam Sofer was dealt with a very interesting question. Maisa Shahaya. There is a Jewish woman who was in her house one day together with her maid, lady working in her house, and all of a sudden her maid faints. She seems she's unwell. And I can't explain to you the medical procedure of this. It seems in those days a way to heal a person. Again, I don't know what the person was sick with. That's not clear. And I don't know why this works. It could be there's some people over here who could explain to me why this works. But it seems the procedure was to pour down the throat of this person who's sick, who's fainted, some whiskey. Yes, I know. It's perfect for Father's Day, right? Whiskey always helps, right? But I don't know, but there is some form of healing. If you pour whiskey down, boy, it would get them back alive, right? In Russia, vodka, I think, would do wonders in the Russian winters. So this woman goes to her cabinet to try to get some whiskey. Meanwhile, she reached for the wrong bottle in her cabinet and she pulled out some poison and she poured it down the throat of her maid. Rachmanu litzlan, she killed her. And this poor lady was traumatized, obviously, by the whole incident, and she was reaching out to the Chassam Sofer, what responsibility do I have? She obviously felt horrible that something like this happened. What should she do? So before I get to the actual psak of the Chassam Sofer, Chassam Sofer does say in this case, he talks about, there is a concept that if things happen to come about through you, even if there's no capability, there still is some halachic, hashkafic, you know, responsibility. You know, a person should do tshuva. So if, you know, you got involved in such a case, you know, obviously it just happened, but okay, perhaps you're off the hook. But there is some tshuva to be done. That is what the Chassam Sofer does conclude. But in terms of the actual halacha, Chassam Sofer says she is totally exempt from paying anything. Totally exempt. And there's no responsibility whatsoever for this lady. Question is why? Right? Why is she better than a doctor? A doctor, we said, okay, you might be putter from payment. Now, first of all, that was enacted with people, otherwise wouldn't be doctors. We don't see that really by other people. And he doesn't really invoke, in American law, there is an idea of a good Samaritan. There are some protective measures put in, because otherwise people wouldn't jump in and save people. So there is a concept of a good Samaritan. But that's not what the Chassam Sofer argues. The Chassam Sofer argues that the reason why this woman should be putter is because the stress of this emergency situation contributed to her mistaken decision, and therefore for that alone she should not be responsible. And sounds like I saw they explained the Chassam Sofer. Perhaps in that same situation, if you had a doctor, person sick, okay, boom. Again, don't know how this works, but grab some whiskey. Instead, you grab poison. Yeah, a doctor would be chay for that. But a housewife, this woman shouldn't be. Because a doctor, perhaps, is expected to be able to act under stress. It comes with the territory. It's part of the job. And if you made a blunder like that, you'd be held responsible. But take a regular person and put them in those situations. For them, that situation is too much to handle. The stress, and it's very understandable how they grabbed the wrong bottle. They were trying to help, and they did this. So the Chassam Sofer paskens, this woman is putter. So this itself is a very important yesod we see from the Chassam Sofer, that the stress of a situation does give room for halachically someone to be exempt from responsibility, from damages in such a case. And although we would say that a doctor has a higher form of responsibility in these cases, and the fact that it's stressful, look, this is why you get paid the big bucks, comes with the territory. But l'chora, this I suppose can bring, is that even a doctor, there are some scenarios which are overwhelming. It's some scenarios where there was a war zone scene in the ER. There was just so much going on, constantly patients coming in, overwhelmed, understaffed. So you know what? That's also contributing factors. And no one says a doctor's perfect. And when we make applications, no one would say that the police officers, of course, are supposed to be able to respond in, you know, with good judgment, even in stressful situations. But not every matzav is the same. There's levels and levels. And if there's a level which is above and beyond average stress, so then you have to judge them with that. That's part of the equation too. So this Chassam Sofer does give us a precedent for an idea that one would be exempt from payment, from responsibility for damage incurred, if it was brought about through a situation, an emergency situation, a stressful situation, where the person involved was not expected to reach that bar of being able to focus without making a mistake. And finally, I'd like to get to one additional yesod, which could help shed light within our situation, is Ashal Shuvus Shiva Halevi, which is Rav Wozner. We profiled him last year. Great posik dying from the Nebrak. And he deals with a practical case of a dentist who, nobody likes going to the dentist. I'm sorry. Some of my best friends are dentists, but no one likes going to the dentist. And after you hear this story, boy, you have a dentist who, you know, was sitting there, the guy's in the chair for who knows how long, and then I was realized that the dentist drilled the wrong tooth. Ouch. You'd say other words, but your mouth is open. Should I repeat the last? Just a little mishap. I actually saw this thing flashing blue colors, green colors. I was like, oh boy. But let me just repeat the Shevet HaLevi. The Shevet HaLevi, again, is talking about a case of a dentist who drills the wrong tooth. So the halakha. But here, when you're doing the wrong tooth, that's not the proper procedure. You're doing the wrong thing. A mistake like that is not protected by this dispensation that we talked about before that we have for doctors. You have to make sure that the procedure, what you're doing, you're getting it right. And Rav Wozner says this for why one would be chayiv in this case, what I call category one. But perhaps you can explain this for the gala step two. And maybe we could answer the question that we posed before. What's the difference between a Sheikh Bezdin and a doctor? That when it comes to galus, this halacha of galus, whether someone is chayv galus here by a doctor. So we're saying, look, as long as you're doing the proper treatment, that itself maybe will apply to you, but at the same time, it could be legabi galus, we say, it's not good enough. Just like we said by the dentist, look, I know you're trying to do the right thing in this, but who said that's a proper treatment? You know, by a doctor, it could be, it's tricky. It could be, on one level, it's enough of a proper treatment that would say you're exempt. But in terms of galus, the person died through it. Look, it obviously wasn't the proper treatment. And therefore, for galus, okay, you're going to have to go to galus. You know, the Gemara does say in Kiddushin, and this is really actually part of the inspiration for the share, as doing this last plot in Kiddushin on Paydays. Gemara says, Tov Shabarofim Gehenim. Sometimes even the best of doctors could end up in Gehenim. And one of the reasons why Rashi says is because they're responsible for deaths. They thought this was the right treatment, but it was a mistake. It wasn't the right treatment. And it is a very tricky business. You know, the Vosner is saying you only have coverage. You're only covered providing, assuming that you're doing the proper treatment, treating the wrong truth. Or perhaps a doctor that didn't do the right treatment for a person, there is some responsibility for that. And that is a big achrayus, as Shach says, it's not a reason not to be a doctor. We need our doctors, we should honor our doctors. You know, I think this whole past period was a period that people got a new appreciation for people in the medical field. You know, it was a war zone, and every person who went into work in a hospital, whether you're in the ward that deals with COVID patients or not, something that everyone should be makar tov for, because the fact that Baruch Hashem, B'lei Yad Hara, our medical system held up, is a big deal. So, just to conclude, and maybe bring it back to the case we talked about to begin with, You see, there are, again, three levels in halacha. Are you responsible for damages? Are you responsible bidei shemayim? And like another level would be chayv galus. Tamza Bezdin, the chayv galus for someone dying unintentionally through your hands. And I would say, in terms of a law enforcement officer, again, assuming nothing was gross negligence, a person who made a mistake, even if we say in the case of the Atlanta police officer, there was a mistake. Yeah. First of all, in terms of damages, a police officer, because I suppose can bring, should be no different than a doctor. We need police officers. If all the cops are going to quit because of crazy societal lawsuits, pressure, who knows on them, and then the world will really need a lot of tikkun ha'olam. It'll be a bad place. We need doctors. We need police officers. So really, one should be covered and should be potter for that. You could even be potter completely, even b'nei shemayim, potentially, if it reached the level, of course a police officer has a higher degree of being able to deal with stress than the average person, but it could be some scenarios are above that. And if it is a scenario of stress above what the threshold calls for, then we saw from the Chassam Sofer, there's a reason to pater, there's a reason to exempt. Again, I'm not saying in this case, it could be because he's a police officer, we expect a higher degree of stress. And even if the guy is shooting a phaser, you know, a taser at you, maybe that was the wrong response. Because a doctor, or in this case, a police officer, should have a higher degree of being able to function under stress. It's hard for us to judge because we're not in their shoes. It goes both ways. We don't know what that stress is. But you know what? A cop is expected, a police officer is expected to operate, just like we see by a doctor, on a higher level of stress than the average person. And thirdly, we see this yisod from Vosner, if you're doing what's called the proper treatment, the proper procedure, so then one would be potter. But sometimes, when a mistake happens, it could be defined what you did was not the proper procedure. You drilled the wrong tooth. You shouldn't have fired your gun. So that's very tricky. Not simple. We have to know what the procedure is. We have to understand that. And if the person did not follow the proper procedure, so then that would be a reason to hold one responsible. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Wish you a wonderful week.